Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. It's also a special mix of politics, culture, and personal development stuff too for underdogs. And we do this here every week live at the home of the Gregory Neesmith Show on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. And as always, just a disclaimer, just in case this is your first time tuning into the show, and welcome if it is. And if it's not your first time, I appreciate you coming along on the journey for what is our 75th episode. But if it is your first time, quick disclaimer, this ain't Fox News. Not that you probably thought it was, but I just want to get that out the way. This ain't CNN. This ain't MSNBC. This ain't Hot 97. This ain't the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. It's none of those things. Not that, you know, they do what they do. They cover the news. They often commentate about it. But here at the Gregory Neesmith Show, we get personal about it. So let's get personal about the news and the culture today. You know, it's the 75th time we've been together, and that feels like a special number. And I'm sure it is, but I take and enjoy every episode, every show, every opportunity is special. And with that, I'm grateful to be your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, content creator, consultant, coach, a bunch of other stuff. But when it's all said and done, if I had to strip all the labels away, what I'm really into is exploring how to support talented underdogs who may have gone off track. I know at times I've gone off track. I really want us to figure out how we rediscover how special we are in the world and get our swagger back and then keep it and then support others, especially other underdogs, and going on that journey too. Today's episode, I think we're going to call it Cookouts, Pardon Me, and what else do we want to talk about today? Cookouts, Pardon Me, and Pride. I think that's where we'll go today, and I think it'll all make sense by the time we're done. All right, my Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. I didn't get to see it because I'm boycotting the NFL, but I'm still happy for my city. You know, my Sixers didn't go too far in the playoffs. The Flyers, no. Phillies, no. But the Eagles are the underdogs, or they were the underdogs, and now they're the champs, and that's a big deal. And when you win a championship in most major sports, you get to go to the White House. Who doesn't want to go to the people's house? I know, I dreamed of going to the White House. Like, that's cool, right? It's where our president is and a lot of history there. Who wouldn't want to go to the White House? Well, the Eagles actually wouldn't want to go to the White House. I don't know if you heard, but Donald Trump this week uninvited the Philadelphia Eagles to the White House over what Trump says is a disagreement on standing during the national anthem. We still talking about this anthem? Supposedly, a bunch of Eagles were going to go, then maybe not go. I think supposedly about 10 or so were going to be there. And then all of a sudden, the White House said, nah, cancel. If y'all don't come in numbers, we're not having it because we have egos and we believe in crowd size and we don't want to embarrass ourselves. I mean, that's what I took away from it. But here's what Sarah, mouthpiece to the White House Huckabee Sanders, had to say about it.
I've addressed this a few times again. The Eagles were the ones that committed to an event on Friday. They submitted over 80 members of the Eagles franchise for the event, along with over 1,000 fans to participate. And it was the Eagles organization that tried to change their commitment at the 11th hour. If this wasn't a political stunt, then they wouldn't have planned to attend the event and then backed out. If it wasn't a political stunt, they wouldn't have attempted to reschedule an event for when they knew that the president would be out of the country. And they wouldn't have waited until the very last minute to make these changes if this wasn't about some type of political statement that they were trying to make towards this president.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders trying to do some splaining as to why Donald Trump uninvited some people who said they didn't want to come anymore. I don't know. If you're having a party and I say I'm not coming or don't want to come, then can you truly, really uninvite me? And actually, would you go to a party hosted by someone who said this about you?
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired.
I mean, I normally don't show up to many people's parties who've called me a SOB. But maybe that's just me. And of course, our Twitter in chief had something to say about it too.
I want to take this opportunity to explain why young Americans stand for our national anthem. Maybe it's about time that we understood. We stand to honor our military and to honor our country and to remember the fallen heroes who never made it back home. We stand to show our love for our fellow citizens and our magnificent Constitution. We stand to pay tribute to the incredible Americans who came before us and the heroic sacrifices they made. America is a great nation, a community, a family, and America is our home, and we love our home.
For the millionth time, this has nothing to do with the national anthem and disrespecting the flag of the country. With that, we're going to go to the phone lines and see what other fellow underdogs think about all this so far. Name and where you calling from.
Hi, it's Deborah from Manhattan.
Deborah from Manhattan. Hello, how
are
you?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Listen, have you heard about the third stanza to the national anthem?
Yes, is it the third or the second?
No, the third.
The third.
I think it's the third.
Okay.
And I think also that it was a celebration of slavery. And it was written by Francis Scott Key. So why Black people should stand up for that, I don't know why. They should not be forced to.
I
don't have all of the words in front of me,
mm-hmm.
but you can go online, you can go, you know, and just pull it up. I know that I pulled it up on the Root, but I know that it's on all over the place. So before it's all over, maybe they should take him to court.
Yeah, I
mean, if it was a Jewish group of people and somebody said, we want you to stand up, and they found out that there was a song written on behalf of killing all of their people, they wouldn't stand up.
No.
Why should they stand up?
And we might not even have it as a ritual or a song even for the country.
Exactly. But I'm saying this was hidden. Nobody, I mean, I'm not saying no one knew about it, but the average person, we didn't know about it. So now that it's come out and you want to keep on keeping on about it, then, you know, maybe the guys should get together, the players should get together, and, you know, if they have to take him to court, they should do it.
Hey, I hear you, and I appreciate you sharing with the audience to Google that stanza because it puts some more perspective on the fact that...
Yeah, you really should. And he, yeah, Francis Scott Key. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to, I think I know your answer, but I want to ask you just so you can say it yourself. Do you have any issue with the players choosing not to go to the White House?
No, I wouldn't go.
Yeah. I mean, it's a celebration and a party, and that is the host that you do not like. You don't agree with. Like, why are you going there?
He's using people anytime he gets. I mean, he's used Jack Johnson. He's used Muhammad Ali. You notice all of the people that he wants to pardon are dead. That are black and male.
Or they get to have a photo op with Kim Kardashian, another reality star.
Well, that's something else. I don't even know why she's there, but it's not good.
And we're going to talk about
It's not good at all. I remember once hearing her say that she had been interested in politics. I mean, the fact that you don't have to know anything, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw her sitting there one day. And her husband is somewhere in the wind. I'm serious.
Hey, well,
I don't trust her, and I don't trust her at all.
We have a game.
I never have.
We have a game show host for our president right now, so I wouldn't be shocked if we had a reality TV star next.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. I appreciate you calling in, Deborah, and thanks for sharing that news. And I will Google it also.
Yeah, do that.
All right, now appreciate you, Deborah.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Bye. And that was Deborah from Manhattan, reminding us that. And giving us context and some perspective on some of the history of the song and the national anthem. And so what I love about that is if you're going to make it about the anthem, which it was never about the anthem to begin with, it was about police brutality. It was about racial profiling. It was about stop and frisk. It was about the interaction of police, especially with brown and black people. And now if you want to make it about the anthem, which I don't, but if we do, then to Deborah's point, then let's talk about the anthem and the history of it, the context of it, the lyrics of it. And that maybe as we evolve and as we know better, we do better. And just like there's things we allow now that we didn't allow back then, well, maybe we should talk about the anthem. And maybe its time is up as a ritual that we celebrate, or at least maybe its time is up for us to celebrate in a way that we aren't fully aware of its history. Google that stanza. Google likely third stanza, I believe Deborah mentioned, or Google missing stanza and slavery national anthem, and I'm sure the info will pop up and give you a new perspective. With that, Deborah said that she agrees that the players shouldn't go to the White House. I agree with her. And also, I never thought I'd be doing this, but I think I'm about to shout out the mayor of Philadelphia, Jim Kenney. And he actually took a stand with the players in their decision too.
Athletes are American citizens who have the right, the First Amendment right, to express their views. I stand and I stand when the anthem is played with my hand over my heart because I'm a privileged white male. There are other people in this country whose the issue of this country has affected them differently, and they have a right to express their discontent. They have a right to express their fact that they are protesting against certain things, and no one has a right to take that away. And Donald Trump has tried to control the NFL. He's tried to control the thoughts of this country, and it's not working.
No, it's not. And Jim Kenney, mayor of Philadelphia, my hometown of City Brother Love, he wasn't done.
What statement do you think the president is making by disinviting the dozen or so players that were going to go?
Well, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Basically, is what he's saying, is unless you kneel to me, unless you pay homage to me as president of the United States, I'm going to disinvite you from the people's house. And that's not what the presidency is all about. The presidency is about every common person who looks up to that office and wants to be treated as an equal American. And he does not want to treat people equally. Only the people who support him are the people he considers real Americans.
Well, I normally am not always on the same side with Jim Kenney, but hey, when somebody makes a good point, they make a good point. And I'm glad that the majority of the Eagles players, they get to feel what they feel, think what they think, and then they have the choice to stay home. And I'm supportive of that. Don't go to parties hosted by people that are at odds with your values and your beliefs. Shout out to the Eagles. Speaking of celebrations and parties, and it's cookout season. And every now and then we get to play a quick game of who can now get an invite to the cookout. You know, to the cookout. Cookout, cookout. I think we know Donald Trump cannot get an invite to the cookout. But I'll be curious to think here whether or not you think Kim Kardashian can now get an invite to the cookout when I share with you this next news about what just happened with her prison reform, Donald Trump, and pardons. If you didn't hear last week on the show, we talked about the fact that Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump were meeting to discuss prison reform, and Kim Kardashian was there specifically to request a pardon for Alice Marie Johnson, a nonviolent who was in jail for, I believe, a little over 20 years for nonviolent drug offense back in the day when, well, I shouldn't even say back in the day when folks were getting locked up for drug-related crimes, especially nonviolent ones. I mean, it still happens today. But Kim was there to request a pardon for this one woman, Alice Marie Johnson. And strangely enough, this past week, Trump did it. And Alice Marie Johnson is pardoned. I think the technical term is she received clemency, but she is free to go. And, you know, doesn't have to serve any more of her sentence. And this is Kim Kardashian and her comments after that all unfolded, and unfolded rather quickly.
That he's really investigated this case and spoke to her warden, spoke to just everyone, and everyone had a unanimous, from the people that he reached out to, unanimous feeling of Alice that she will live a great life, and she will, that she has done her time, has been such a model person in prison. She's never had any like infractions on, you know, behavior or anything.
It's almost impossible in prison, by the way. So
yeah, I mean, she, yeah. And she became an ordained minister. She got so many degrees. She just, knowing that she's never going to get out, but she is still so amazing and is working on herself the whole time she's there. I think just he felt her heart, and he explained that to me. And I was just, I mean, when he said he has the papers in front of him and he's signing it, I just, like, my heart was so full.
Underdogs, is your heart full too? You buying what Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump are selling? Are they or is this the start of Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump being the saviors and champions of prison reform? Looking out for brown and black folks? Looking out for the fact that, according to the Sentencing Project, just to put some of this in perspective, just so you know, Alice Marie Johnson's situation isn't unique. There's a lot of folks who share her circumstances. 46% of folks in state prisons right now across our country are in there with a nonviolent crime. Of those sentenced to life without parole, over 3,200 of those prisoners, again, in jail for nonviolent crimes. And oh, why do I talk about this, especially for the brown and black folks who are underdogs? Well, if you are a black male, you get almost a 20% longer sentence for the same federal crime as a white male. Same crime. More time. So forgive me if I'm not ecstatic, if I'm not jumping up and down or pulling out the pom-poms to celebrate Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump for what they did for Alice Marie Johnson. Because two things can be true. You know how I roll. I'm not into either or. So I can be happy for Alice Marie Johnson and still disappointed and skeptical about Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump. Because one-offs are dangerous. Playing Celebrity Apprentice with people's lives is disgusting. This ain't a game show. We'll have our next celebrity contestant, Sylvester Stallone. Come on down. Who would you like for me to pardon? And that really happened. Kim Kardashian, come on down. You're the next contestant on Celebrity Apprentice Pardons. Who would you like to pardon? Like I said the other day, I was with an organization and with some of their members that worked with those who are formerly incarcerated to get their life back on track. It's not a game show. There's people right now who were in jail and potentially arrested when they shouldn't have been. And when they were, got longer sentences than they should have. When they get out, they don't have the right to vote. They lose some of their parental rights. And this varies by states. Their ability to get certain jobs. They become disconnected from society even though they've served their time. And some folks are still in there right now. And the only way they can potentially get out is if you're a celebrity and you happen to know Donald Trump and he happens to want to meet with you and you happen to bring a case to him. One-offs are dangerous. You know, I was reading a little bit more about this topic, and there's a department within the administration, not just the Trump administration, all administrations, that actually looks into pardons and clemency, builds a list, makes cases for them, recommends them to the president. And so far, from what I've read, not a single pardon or clemency that Trump has given has even come as a recommendation from the people who are tasked, who we pay every day to do it. They haven't done it. So right now, Donald Trump's pardon strategy is if you're a celebrity and you want to come to the White House and do a photo op with me and give me some good press, then maybe I'll pardon you or pardon your person. So the office that is in charge of this, not involved. Congress, not involved. So we got to wait on Kim Kardashian. Out of here. Not having it. Two things can be true. I'm happy for Alice Marie Johnson. And I'm disappointed in Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump. Because one of the things I know is that if you can build a framework, build a plan, and say that Alice Marie Johnson fits the profile of folks that we want to correct a wrong that we did in terms of arrest and sentencing and time in jail, then to me, why this is incomplete, what's missing, and why I'm disgusted by it is that if they would have then followed this up and said, we've now looked into the number of people who fit the profile of Alice Marie Johnson, and that's 1,000 or a couple thousand, whoever other folks, and you said to me, we're gonna now work on getting them clemency and pardons, well, then maybe now we're talking. Now you got my attention. Because now you're fighting for underdogs, not just fighting for photo ops and publicity. And then now maybe we can talk. But, however, you know what Trump did next related to prison reform and pardons and clemency? You know, do you know what he did next? This.
We have a great country. You should stand for our national anthem. You shouldn't go in a locker room when our national anthem is played. I am going to ask all of those people to recommend to me, because that's what they're protesting, people that they think were unfairly treated by the justice system. And I understand that. And I'm going to ask them to recommend to me people that were unfairly treated, friends of theirs or people that they know about. And I'm going to take a look at those applications. And if I find, and my committee finds, that they're unfairly treated, then we will pardon them or at least let them out.
Didn't I just say it'd be nice to have an actual plan for pardons, clemency, for criminal justice reform? And what do we get next? Celebrity Apprentice Pardon Edition continues. So now, if you're Sylvester Stallone, an actor in Hollywood, or if you're a reality star, you know, I don't even know what to call Kim Kardashian. Just if you're, I don't know, whatever she is. If you're someone like her, then you get to pick who gets pardoned. And now, if you're an NFL football player, you get to pick who's pardoned next. This ain't a game show. I've sat across from people who've been incarcerated and are trying to get their lives back together. And I'm not trying to wait on the next celebrity to meet with Donald Trump to get them out one by one and help them get their lives back together. This ain't a game show.
So this is how Trump's responding, and probably one of the most impressive power moves ever, asking them to recommend people for pardoning. So this is such a smart move by Trump for a multitude of reasons. It's first and foremost a win-win. And this is obviously the man who wrote The Art of the Deal, just the way he thought this out. Unbelievable PR, because this has been a winning issue for Trump for a long time now, and he is capitalizing on it.
This ain't The Art of the Deal either. I'm not trying to play chess or checkers with people's lives. It's hard enough as underdogs out here. And now we got to wait on celebrities to maybe make a difference. Well, the good news is there's organizations like CMC Workforce that aren't waiting on Kim Kardashian or Sylvester Stallone to make something happen. They're out here doing stuff every day, helping those who have at least been formerly incarcerated or homeless get back on track, resume writing, skill and trade building, get them employed in a job in 2 to 3 weeks so they can get their lives back on track. And shout out to all the other organizations like that, that are doing the work and not doing photo ops. And in case you haven't heard some of the details, Trump says he wants to meet with NFL players who kneel during the national anthem so that he can recommend, so that they can recommend people they think should be pardoned due to unfair treatment in the justice system. Trump said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to say to them, instead of talk, I'm going to ask all of those people to recommend to me, because that's what they're protesting. People that think they were unfairly treated by the justice system." Trump says he understands. Man, a lot of heavy stuff going on in the news, in the culture. It's heavy sometimes. I can feel it. And I sense you can feel it too. It's a challenge when stuff is real and then it feels like the rest of the world is playing a game. When stuff hits home, but yet it feels like other people are on a game show. And when people's lives are at stake, we don't turn to Congress. We don't turn to our city councilmen and women. We don't turn to the Supreme Court. We don't turn to the entire executive branch. Right now we're turning to Sylvester Stallone, Kim Kardashian, NFL football players, and Donald Trump. And on top of that, we're also off message. I don't recall that the point of the NFL protests were anthems or pardons. It was policing. It was things like making sure consent decrees stayed in place, that if police departments were historically being unequal in how they were policing their communities, that the federal government would step in, acknowledge that things have been going wrong, and provide support and tracking for them to get better and make sure they are getting better. This is about police brutality. This is about racial profiling. It's about stop and frisk. About who we're arresting and who we're not. It wasn't about pardons. And it definitely wasn't about pardons from celebrities. I wish that the rest of these politicians and the media would keep people on task. One of the things I've learned from going from underdog to contender to champ is about focus, staying on message, having a plan. One-offs by Kim Kardashian is not going to save us. This right here is not going to save us.
We have a great country. You should stand for our national anthem. You shouldn't go in a locker room when our national anthem is played. I am going to ask all of those people to recommend to me, because that's what they're protesting, people that they think were unfairly treated by the justice system. And I understand that. And I'm going to ask them to recommend to me people that were unfairly treated, friends of theirs or people that they know about. And I'm going to take a look at those applications. And if I find, and my committee finds, that they're unfairly treated, then we will pardon them, or at least let them out.
And that's where we are. Pardons. We don't have a plan. We just have celebrities and Donald Trump. Shout out to those following along online. Shout out to Daryl, who says, speaking of the Eagles, shout out to the city of brotherly love and one of my hometown friends, Daryl. He says, speaking of the Eagles, I'd like to see them do a community service project in D.C. with the police that includes a forum to start to find answers. Do it in the shadows of the White House. And that's Daryl talking about the fact that our hometown team won a Super Bowl, got invited to the White House, decided they didn't want to go, then got uninvited from something that they didn't want to go to. But Daryl's point is that the Eagles still get to do something in the D.C. area and do something related to policing. And I agree with them, because it's my understanding that once the Eagles canceled their trip that they to the White House, is that I believe they actually didn't go to D.C. And that I'm disappointed in, because they, in my opinion, should not cancel their community D.C. activities just because they canceled their White House visit. So shout out to Daryl. I definitely agree that there's stuff that the Eagles can do, and they can do it without the Twitter in chief, Donald Trump. That is for sure. And shout out to Erica, who I believe checked in and is tuning into the show too, and all the other underdogs out there as we go on the journey to rediscover our special stuff, get our swagger back, business, politics, and life. Speaking of getting our swagger back, I want to give a big shout out to the fact that June is LGBTQ month, Pride month. And I want to give a shout out for Pride month because unfortunately our White House doesn't. LGBTQ Pride month is celebrated every June in honor of the 1969 Stonewall riots in Manhattan. Stonewall was a gay bar, and one night the cops came in to raid it, and the people had enough and fought back. The point of the month is to recognize the impact that the LGBTQ community has had and having on our history as a country. It's also a month to highlight some of the issues for the LGBTQ Americans that they still face. And it is an act of celebration, protest, and political activism. And Pride Month is something that has been celebrated across the country. And I know there were different parades even yesterday in, I believe Yonkers had his first ever Pride Parade, which is a community right outside of New York City. And I'm sure there'll be other events throughout the month. I've seen some folks in my timeline shouting out the different parades and acknowledging that there's also underdogs that are part of the LGBTQ community, and we get to acknowledge them even though the White House is not. After years of Barack Obama recognizing June as LGBTQ month, Trump refuses to. Instead, chump. That's a slip that's probably meant that, but I meant to say Trump, not chump, but some might argue they could be interchangeable time. Trump chose June to honor Caribbean American heritage, African American music, home ownership, the outdoors, and the ocean. First of all, what? Did you even know that June was the month that the Trump administration was honoring Caribbean American heritage, African American music, home ownership, outdoors, and the ocean? Shout out to Megan, my producer, who gets me ready for every show each week, researching stories, getting audio clips together, helping me make sure that I'm ready to go out and, so to speak, play a good game. Shout out to you, Megan, because I had no idea that I was supposed to be honoring Caribbean American Heritage Month. Shout out to my roots. I'm part Black American and part Bajan. Shout out to Barbados, and shout out to all my Caribbean folks who got some Caribbean blood running through them. Shout out to the whole diaspora, actually. African American music. I did not know that the White House was honoring African American music this month. I mean, I honor it every day. I'm playing some good music. Home ownership. I am definitely a big fan of home ownership. I mean, unfortunately, since the 1960s and the Housing Act, it's been a challenge for folks, especially brown and Black folks, to sometimes get access to lending and loans and properties in certain communities that would have benefit them to not just have a home, but also have something that could build equity in it, create wealth, something that can be passed down from generation to generation. So home ownership is a big deal, and something that has been a struggle for a lot of us out here. And some of the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow still shows up today in home ownership, or I should say the lack of it. Still shows up today in the community. I'm in Harlem. Gentrification and who owns what? Who lives here now? So, I mean, I'm glad that we're honoring those things, but June should also include honoring LGBTQ month too, Donald Trump. Because LGBTQ rights have gained more and more visibility, And Pride Month is another way for recognition, and also at the federal level. What I didn't realize, though, is that I didn't know this was like a depends on who the president thing is. I mean, I know we're divided on a lot of things. It looks like this is another issue that, unfortunately, there's those for and those against. Looks like President Clinton was the first to officially declare June as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. Then George Bush, the younger one, did not recognize it. Then Obama did. And then now we're back with a Republican in office. So Donald Trump feels like, hey, it's now my turn to keep the Republican legacy going of not acknowledging the LGBTQ community. With that said, though, there are some federal agencies that are acknowledging the month and hosting different events. And so although Trump is not recognizing it, it hasn't stopped certain other federal agencies from publishing Pride-related documents, posters, and hosting those type of events. And as always, it seems, at odds with each other, Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump. Ivanka did tweet out support for Pride Month and, of course, was met with backlash from supporters of her father. And the Trump administration continues to make it clear where it stands when it comes to a lot of things, right? Trump administration is clear on where it stands with oftentimes minorities, with those of believe in Islam. We see that he seems to be at odds with those who have issues with policing. And we can add to the list that unfortunately seems to be at odds with those who are part of the LGBTQ community. And here at the Gregory Neesmith Show, we are not at odds with folks who feel like they have the odds stacked against them and want to rediscover how special they are and get their swagger back. And so, like I said earlier in the show, it's tough enough with the internal battles we each got going on the inside to then have piled on our society and culture being afraid of, being against diversity and those of us who have different ways of approaching how we live our lives. And so shout out to June and Pride Month. And I mean, you know, we can shout out to Caribbean American heritage, African American music, home ownership, outdoors, and the ocean too. I need the Trump administration to do better. I don't need celebrity pardons. I need you to acknowledge all of the Americans, not just a select few or just only those who support you. We've been talking about today's episode 75, cookouts, pardon me, and pride. We talked about the fact that my Philadelphia 76ers, my Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl, decided not to go to the cookout, so to speak. Trump invited them to the White House. They said they don't want to go, and then he said, you can't go anyway. I've never been uninvited from a party that I didn't want to go to. We also talked about the fact that a very serious issue, our criminal justice system, one that has, according to the Sentencing Project in our state prisons right now, 46% of those folks incarcerated right now are convicted of nonviolent crimes. We talked about the fact that of those sentenced to life without parole, over 3,200 of those prisoners currently today in there for nonviolent offenses. We talked about the fact that if you're brown or black and not white, you could do the same crime as a white person, and research has shown you can get 20% greater of a sentence for the same crime. So this is real. Policing is real. The impact of being incarcerated is real. It varies by state. But if you're incarcerated, you could lose your right to vote. And again, be disconnected from society. You could lose certain parental rights. Access to certain jobs, again, being disconnected from society, leading to likely recidivism and going back. it's hard to get your swagger back if you potentially shouldn't have been there to begin with, and if you were there longer than you should have been, and then when you get out, there's going to be all these things put in your place to get in your way. And how do we solve it? Kim Kardashian and Trump. Two things can be true. I can be happy for Alice Marie Johnson, who did get pardoned after Kim Kardashian made her case with Donald Trump. I can be happy for Ms. Johnson. And then I can be sad and disgusted at Kim and Donald turning people's lives into a game show and photo ops. So what do I want? I want the next step to be anyone who fits the profile of Anne Marie Johnson, which I'm sure are thousands, that the next step is that those folks are getting clemency or pardons too. Because it's one thing to vent, which I'm doing right now, and then it's another thing to then make a request. Well, what do I want? Well, that's what I want. Because this is real life. And shout out to the organization CMC Workforce, which I'm a supporter of and got to meet with them yesterday. They are on the front lines. They are out there helping those formerly incarcerated, those who have been homeless, get access to resume writing, skill building to get them in construction jobs that lead to getting paid and getting back on their feet and doing it quickly. Because there's organizations like them that aren't waiting for Kim Kardashian, aren't waiting for Sylvester Stallone, aren't waiting for the fact that now Trump has offered NFL players the opportunity to recommend pardons too. That's how we rolling? Where's Congress at? And then we talked about it's hard enough to have pride in who you are. I know for me, it's hard enough for me to figure out how special I am. Am I lovable enough? Is anybody going to even listen to this show? What's my purpose in this world? Am I tall enough? Am I smart enough? I struggle with those things. And I know you struggle with some version of it too. Because there's often a war going on inside of all of us. And then on top of that, we got to add the fact that then there's all these cultural and society pressures. We can't even acknowledge the LGBT community from the People's House. Donald Trump can't acknowledge that June is not just Caribbean American Heritage Month, which I didn't know. That it's not just African American Music Month, Home Ownership Month, Outdoors Month, the Ocean Month. I don't even know how we honor an ocean out of the White House. Shout out to Megan for getting that information. But it's also LGBTQ month too. We all get to have our swagger, even if there's people trying to take it away from us. And there is a war going on outside or inside. And one of the ways it's been unfortunately showing up is that between 1999 and 2016, suicide rates have rose on average 30% in the U.S. Suicide is now the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. And every year, this number is staggering. Every year, 44,965 Americans die by suicide. For every one suicide, there's also 25 attempts. Men die from suicide at 3.5 times more often than women. And the rate of suicide is highest among middle-aged white men. And suicide by firearms is the most common way. And sometimes things happen with a spotlight on them that remind us of how challenging it is to handle that war going on inside of each of us. And then only in the past couple days, the spotlight was highlighted on suicide with the passing of suicide of Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade. And we know that every year that there's over 40,000 of us out there that somebody you know or I know or we know took their own life. And I wanted to make sure we took a moment to shine a light on it here, because the journey of an underdog, there's challenges, there's pain. I might be, you might be hurting. And yeah, there's things like go sit down with friends or get a new routine or exercise more and remember your goals and your purpose and make a safety plan and things like that. But my offer is to ask for help. Oftentimes, you know, I've talked before about one of the things that I believe is true is that most of us need more support than we're getting. And while it's cool to call mama and them, your friends or your pastor or your bartender or your best friend or your coworker, it's cool and all, right? They're there. And like I said, I don't believe in either or. So it's cool to call your loved ones. But let's do both. Ask for professional help too. A therapist, a doctor, the National Suicide Prevention Line, the Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. The Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. It's okay, because I know you need more support than you're getting right now. And so please take that step today to go get it. And my prayers and condolences to anyone listening right now who's lost a loved one. You get to have your moment and grieve. And for those who might be struggling right now, I'm not here to say that it can or can't be okay. I'm here to say that the one thing I know for sure is that you getting professional help is a step, and a step worth taking. So that you can rediscover how special you are and get your swag back. With that, I want to say thank you to everybody who came along for the journey today for number 75. Man, that feels like a big deal. 75, you do anything 75 times. Something. And so I'm grateful that you came along for the ride for the 75th episode we called Cookouts, Pardon Me, and Pride. Because figuratively, the Eagles said they didn't want to go to the cookout at the White House, and they got uninvited, and I'm with them. I wouldn't have went to a cookout of somebody who called me an SOB either. And then we talked, pardon me. Two things can be true. I can be happy for the pardon of Alice Marie Johnson, a nonviolent drug offense, in prison for over 20-something years, now out. I can be happy for her, and then I can be sad and disappointed that Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump have turned pardons and people's lives into a game show and photo ops. Get the rest of the people out. Fit the profile. Alice Marie Johnson. And then pride. We should all have more pride because we're all special in our own way. You know, can't nobody do it like you do it. And pride, I meant that literally, like the Trump administration not acknowledging that June is Pride Month and not showing love to our LGBTQ community. Wanted to make sure we show some love here, the Gregory Neesmith Show. And pride from a different sense of, if any of us are struggling with our place in the world, meaning we got some mental health challenges, depression, that we get to acknowledge that, yeah, that's tough. And that we all need more support than we're getting. And that there is a lifeline to go get free counseling, free therapy. There is a lifeline, literally a lifeline at 1-800-273-8255, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Because we each get to rediscover how special we are and get our swag back. And lastly, shout out to those who are fighting for underdogs every day, doing what they do. They get to be acknowledged too. Last week, we talked about the leaders of the 21st century nonprofit organization helping high school students in the Newark, New Jersey area. Shout out to them. This week, we talked about CMC Workforce, which I'm grateful to be a part of what they do, and that's helping those formerly incarcerated, those who've been homeless or veterans, quickly get their life back up and running, at least when it comes to employment, resume writing, training to get certain skills so they can go out and get jobs at least related to the construction industry and get back to working. And that's part of getting their foundation reset. And so I want to make sure we have this show as a space to be airwaves and action, to talk about stuff, but also be doing stuff and make sure we shout out those on the airwaves that are doing things for underdogs out there in the world. Because this ain't a game show. It's real life, even though we have a game show host. That's impressive. With that, shout out to all the people that made the show possible. That means you watching and commenting on the Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. That means you listening on your radio dial 90.3 FM in Harlem or the New York City surrounding area. That means you listening to the live stream on www.whtr.org. That means you who called in today at 212-650-6903. And also, the show is possible. My producer, Megan, and my podcast and video editor, Kayla. Appreciate you, too. And if you missed any of today's show or want to catch up on some past episodes, we got 75 of them now. You can do that at GregoryNeesmith.com. Or you can also listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Podomatic, Spotify, all the major podcast platforms. And as always, as we are out here exploring how we can help talented underdogs get their swagger back in business, politics, and sports, business, politics, and life, and sports is part of life too. As always, I'm gonna leave you with my favorite quote. It's true. It's a true quote. It's factual. I mean it. And it goes for all of us underdogs out there. And if you've listened to the show before, you can say it along with me. Underdogs, can't nobody do it. And I mean nobody. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.